about 3:30, and when I walked in the back there, I figured out why. There's so many people here, but you pray for us as if you're standing here. You pray for us and want to be a blessing. That's the main thing, isn't it? The Lord use us and help us. And I appreciate Brother Andrew, appreciate the church, and it's good to be here again. And if you would, take your Bible, turn to John chapter 13, if you would. Go ahead and stand with me, if you would. John 13. Let you stretch your legs there a moment. John 13, verse number 1. And we'll begin reading verse number 1. The Bible says, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put in the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God, and went to God, he riseth from supper, and laid aside his garments, and took a towel, and girded himself. After that he poureth water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith to him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all." I want to try to preach on this thought here tonight. How clean are you? How clean are you? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this opportunity, and we don't take it lightly. Thank you for this church. Thank you for Brother Andrew and his family. What encouragement he is to me. And Lord, I pray that you'd touch us here. Help us to say what we need to say. I realize I'm not the only preacher tonight. I pray that you'd bless Brother Logan and fill him and use him as he comes in just a minute. God, help us in this time. We need you. Holy Spirit, we need your touch and that you might minister to our hearts. Lord, we love you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Here we have a picture of the need for the daily cleansing of every believer. And don't get me wrong, if you're saved, you're clean indeed. But in a spiritual sense, your feet need to be washed.
Right.
And this cleansing that I'm going to try to preach about tonight has to do with your walk and your way. Let me tell you, if you're saved, you're clean. You're washed. You're washed in the blood. And you don't have to be washed over and over. I think sometimes people sin, especially maybe when they're a younger Christian, and they do wrong, and maybe they feel like if they haven't been taught that they lose their salvation. Let me tell you, you only get saved one time. But the washing of your feet is a continual thing. Now, my children, I was thinking about my kids here. They're much like the other children probably in this building tonight. My youngest children especially, and they have to be told to wash their hands before they come to the supper table. Does anybody have to be told that? You wouldn't, nobody. You wouldn't admit it. Some of you have to be told to wash your hands. But not only do they have to be told to wash their hands, you also have to check that they really wash them. And normally, the question goes like this from my wife, check their hands, you know.
Right.
And they come over to Dad and I smell their hands to see if they've got soap on their hands. Because, you know, that 1 minute wash doesn't work. Especially after COVID. You know, you see the signs everywhere, wash for 20 seconds. You know, who washes their hands for 20 seconds? Probably not us. But you know, when your feet or your hands get dirty, they have to be washed. If you go outside barefooted, I realize we wear, and most of us wear shoes. Maybe you wear sandals, but when you come in, if you had bare feet or you had sandals, your feet would need to be washed. And in a spiritual sense tonight, I want to ask you, how clean are you? I'm talking to you if you're saved. How clean are you in the sight of God? Do you have clean hands? Do you have clean feet? I'll have you turn to this reference, if you would. Go to Psalm 24, if you would. Psalm 24. Psalm 24 and verse number 3. Psalm 24 and verse number 3. The Bible says, "Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully." Clean hands and a pure heart. Psalm 119 verse 9. "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to thy word?" You want to get your way cleaned up, you obey the word of God. You take heed to the word of God. That's why God gave us his word, Ephesians 5, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. And I'm convinced of this, that there's many adults and there's many young people in our churches that live a life of guilt because they're not walking in the light. Yes, they're saved, but they're not confessing their sins, and they have a guilty conscience before God. You need to have clean feet. You need to have clean hands. Let me say this. You can't look at pornography and have clean hands and clean feet. You say, what did that do? That'll defile you, what you look at on your phone. And by the way, have you ever just gone out, you ever been around the presence of God before where God manifested himself and you came to an altar and he touched your heart and you were with the people of God, and then you went out into the world? Maybe you went to Walmart or Food World, or do they even have Food World now? Wherever you go, Publix, wherever you go to buy your groceries, Piggly Wiggly, or you go to a grocery store, you go to Walmart, and you just feel the uncleanness around you. Not that you're any better, but you've been in the presence of God. And you can't look at pornography, young man, and have clean feet and have a good conscience before God. You can't dress like Hollywood to draw attention to your body, young lady, and have clean hands and a pure heart. You can't listen to the world's music. If you want to just go ahead and list contemporary country music, hip-hop music, whatever you want to list, go to the world's movie theaters, rub shoulders with the world, and have clean hands and a pure heart. How about this? How about a filthy habit? Tobacco. A filthy mouth. Cursing. How about this? Not only the filth of the flesh, but a filth of the spirit. Right. An attitude toward the preacher. An attitude, maybe this will get me, an attitude maybe toward your wife or maybe toward your husband where nobody can make you happy. You're just all the time ornery. You ever been like that? How clean are you tonight? I'm not saying that you're not saved. I'm just asking you, are your feet clean? Are your hands clean? Amen. Now, the first thing I notice from this passage, and I'll give you these three things that I have, and I'll be done. The first thing I want you to notice from John 13, I'll give you these three things, and I'll get out of the way. I'm looking forward to hearing Brother Logan here in just a minute. The first thing I want you to notice from these verses in John 13 is the Lord himself, the one who would cleanse them. The Bible says this, that the supper being ended, and the Bible records what the Lord does. It gives each of these particulars about what he did here. And the Bible says that he knew that he was come from God and that he was going to God. He fully understood who he was. He was God manifest in the flesh. I've heard some people say that Jesus had to grow into being God. That's a heresy. He was born God. He was God. He was God manifested in the flesh. And although he was God, Philippians 2 says he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. The Bible says he took upon himself the form of a servant. Notice what he does in verse number 4. And it's so wonderful. I mean, the scripture and the words the scripture uses. The Bible says he riseth from supper. Now look at this. And laid aside his garments, and took a towel and girded himself. After that he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. He took the place of a servant. Even though he knew who he was, he knew where he had come from, he knew where he was going. He humbled himself, and he took that water and began to wash each of those disciples' feet. The most filthy part, as you're walking the dusty streets of this world, he was willing to take that lowly spot. Amen. You know, you and I are not greater than our Lord.
Right.
We're not greater than he is. If all you do is to be seen of men, then you have your reward here. But if you do the most menial task, the smallest task, the lowest task, then your reward will be great in heaven. Now, I'm going to say something here, and it might throw a chill on the surface, but that's all right. I'm nauseous at times to see even good men promote themselves.
Right.
You say, how do they do that? On social media.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Now, there's a difference in giving an update. I mean, look, give us an update and give glory to God for the soul saved and what's going on your work. But if all you're doing is putting yourself out there to promote yourself and your ministry and your interest, you're not like the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says he made himself of no reputation. He took the lowest place in the household. If the Lord was here in our presence here tonight, he would take the lowest place. He would become a servant. You would see him maybe as we go in the back to eat. He would not be being served. He would be over taking care of the trash cans. He would be walking around saying, can I get you something to drink?
Right.
Can I bring you something? He would be a servant taking the lowest place. Let me tell you, young person, you don't want to find true fulfillment in this life. You won't find it in yourself. You'll find it when you put him first and you put others first. We sing a little song in junior church. It goes like this: Jesus, others, and you. Boy, if we could live that. Put him first and then others and ourselves last. Proverbs 14, verse 14, the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. One of the greatest joys in life is to serve someone else, to try to be a blessing. And boy, we fell at that. I know, I feel you. We all fell at that. But boy, don't you want to be a blessing? To esteem others better than yourself. You got to be like him.
Amen.
You got to be made in his image to do that. I mean, when you're sitting up there, if you're thinking this, boy, I could sing that song better. Boy, I could preach that better.
Yeah.
That's not like him. He made himself of no reputation. The greatest man who ever lived took the form of a servant. And we should follow his example. We'll find true happiness. Read verse 17 if you want to. Verse 16, the servant is not greater than his Lord. In verse number 17, if you know these things, what do you say? Happy are ye if you do that. You'll find true fulfillment when you put others and him before yourself. So I noticed the Lord in this story, the one who could cleanse them. The second thing I want you to notice from this passage of Scripture is their need for cleansing. They needed to be cleansed. Now, in contrast, turn to John 12, just one chapter before, in verse number 3. John 12, in verse number 3, then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Think about where his feet had been. The Bible says how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. If anybody had beautiful feet, it was him. The one who had preached, the one who had went about doing good. And his feet were anointed, but our feet need to be cleansed. His feet were never defiled. He was with, the Bible makes it clear, though he was made to be sin, he was without sin. His feet were anointed. He was the anointed of God. God was well pleased with him, but not with us. Our feet need to be cleansed. Go with me to 1 John chapter 1. Now, there's some people, some Christians don't believe that 1 John 1 is for us. But John the Apostle said, if we, he includes himself. 1 John 1, and I'm going to read you a familiar verse. 1 John 1, verse 9. If we, John included himself, didn't he? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him, God, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Tonight, if you say that you have no sin present, if you say that you have not sinned past, you are a liar. You make God a liar. You say, "What? How is that?" Romans 3:23, for all have sinned. It's not an excuse to sin. It's the reality that our feet, as we're walking through this world, they need to be cleansed. And the Lord is there. He's faithful. He's just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Why in the world would you want to wallow around in your guilt? Why in the world would you want to wallow around in your uncleanness when you can come to the Lord, the one who's faithful and just, the one whose feet were anointed, and he can forgive you and he can cleanse you from all unrighteousness? I thank God tonight I have somebody that I can come to. A throne of grace, a throne of mercy, to obtain grace and mercy to help in time of need. Tonight, if you're dirty as a Christian, I didn't say you wasn't clean. Your feet are dirty. I mean, you might have been clean yesterday. You might have went to bed clean last night. But you got up this morning and you walked in this ungodly world. And as you're walking, you're going to pick up defilement. You're going to pick up uncleanness. And those feet need to be cleansed. And then the third thing I want you to notice from this scripture, and I'll be done, is the place of their cleansing. Go to John 13 again, if you would. John 13, the place of their cleansing. And so the Lord comes to Simon Peter in verse number 8. And Simon Peter's always speaking out. He's always the one getting out of the boat, the one putting his foot in his mouth. And here he is in verse number 8 in John 13. Peter saith unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, I mean, he just makes a complete 180. He says, Lord, you're not going to wash my feet. I mean, he's always opening his mouth. And the Lord said, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. And he says, Lord, just bathe all of me. Just right here, I guess fully clothed. Bathe me, all of me. Look at verse number 10. Jesus said to him, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet. You don't need, listen, Christian, you don't need to be saved again.
Amen.
You don't have to be saved over and over, but it's clean every whit. He says, needeth not save to wash his feet, but it's clean every whit. And you are clean, but not always. Of course, he's speaking of Judas Iscariot. Our walk, this concerns our fellowship with God and with one another, not our sonship. And as we walk in the light, listen, As he is in the light, he says, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Your feet are going to get dirty. There's a picture of this. I'm not going to turn for the sake of time. In Exodus 30, in the tabernacle, there's an article of furniture called the laver of brass. And that laver of brass was put between the brazen altar and the tabernacle. And God gave direction for those priests. I mean, you talk about a holy thing that they were doing. Holy garments. Those men had to stay clean before God. And before they would approach that brazen altar. You realize tonight, young person, God is holy.
Right.
He's holy. We've lost that. He's holy.
Right.
And when we approach Him, we ought to approach Him reverently. We come to that brazen altar. You know what they had to do? They had to go to that laver of brass. Wash their hands and wash their feet. Before they entered into that tabernacle, they had to wash their hands and wash their feet. You come before His presence. You know what you need to ask? You need to ask Him to forgive you of your sins. Before you serve, before you enter the tabernacle to serve, before you serve the Lord Jesus Christ, you need to have clean feet and clean hands. And the Lord can do that. It's a constant reminder that cleansing was necessary in the order of our approach to God. Look at Luke 11. Luke 11. Luke 11 and verse number 1. And of course, the companion passage is in Matthew for this, but we won't turn there. But this is the Lord teaching His disciples to pray. It's really the disciples' prayer. Verse number 1. And it came to pass that as He was praying in a certain place, when He ceased, one of His disciples said unto Him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught His disciples. And He said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread. Now look at this. And forgive us our what?
Sins.
For we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And this is the manner of the disciples' prayer. He gives them this form, and I'm not saying you have to repeat this as you pray with the exact words, but you ought, there's elements here, wouldn't you agree? Pray what? Fervent, pray reverently, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Pray reverently, ask Him for Your provision, give us this day our daily bread. He taught them to pray for God's will, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And then He said this, and forgive us our sins. Let me ask you, when was the last time you asked God? Now, you don't have to answer out loud. It's a rhetorical question. It's made to get you to think. When was the last time you asked God to forgive you of anything?
Amen, preacher.
I don't ever believe that you'll have revival in your heart,
right,
revival in your home, or revival in the house of God until you come clean before God.
Amen.
And you know what He'll do? He'll cleanse your feet. He'll wash you. You can be cleansed. You don't have to live under that guilt. And there's young people, they're doing things they shouldn't be doing.
Yeah.
And you know what they're doing? They're not walking in the light. And that blood isn't cleansing them on a daily basis. And that they're still saved. Yeah, I'm still saved. I'm going to heaven. But that fellowship with God, and then that fellowship with one another, cut off. You wonder sometimes, you don't see people that come to church. You're like, where are they? You're not in fellowship with God's people. You're not in fellowship with God. They go hand in hand.
Amen.
Fellowship with Him and fellowship with one another. And this evening, how clean are you? When was the last time you cleared a place and said, God, give me? God will put your finger. He'll put His finger on things in your life. I don't have to do that. I can't do that. He'll put His finger on things in your life and say, that ain't right. That ain't right. You can come to Him and say, Lord, forgive
me. Yes,
cleanse me. He'll wash it away. You can have joy again.
Amen.
Restore unto me the joy of Thy salvation. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Maybe you won't be so cantankerous.
Amen.
You can smile again. You can have the joy of God again. And the blood will cleanse you. I'm thankful tonight that I can be clean. All right, thank you.